WEEI. New England Sports Original. This is the KJ Show with KJ Carson on Boston Sports Original. WEEI.
Line drive into left field that hangs up. Bellinger makes the play in the Red Sox. Fall in New York. 6-1. Slayton gives it up in the eighth. Brilliant pitching by Ranger Suarez. And the Sox split this two-game series in New York.
KJ Show, Red Sox lose 6-1, but in the buy now, pay later era that we're in right now, the discount Sox literally split a series that they're pretty much going to have to pay for probably in that doubleheader in August. It's not a good feeling. Ranger Suarez outperformed himself. Sox fall towards the end. They have 27 wins this year, and 27 times have they scored less than three runs this season. So that means somewhere in there, watch this, they're not scoring runs. This is...
You deliberately embarrass me in front of a reporter!
617-779-7937. Again, Ranger Suarez was great. Jazz Chisholm busted open. Then, of course, Cody Bellinger continues to bust it open even further. So literally a game that was close all the way into the eighth suddenly falls apart. Next, was this game the Waterloo for the discount Red Sox? We'll do that in 2 minutes here.
We'll do it in 2 and 2.
On WEEI.
Now, here's what's in our feed.
Good afternoon. Don't get on A.J. Brown's bad side. The newest Patriot shares how he aired his discontent with his old teammates in Philly. Could it lead to a preview of what stragglers in Foxborough have to endure?
It was done purposely to give us a push. I know if I say something in the media, I know it's going to propel us to work on it. If you say what you need to say in the media, which I won't do that anymore, mm-hmm. It gives everything legs mm-hmm. and legs to push and to push everybody to be better. Because pressure isn't always a bad thing. It can also be a good thing, too. Honestly, I feel like it was okay to do because we had guys in the locker room who were men.
A.J. Brown is going to put you on blast if he sees fit. I'm Tristan Andrew on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Stay tuned. K.J. Carson, right back right now.
This is the K.J. Show with K.J. Carson on Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
1-0 to Bellinger. He's hit 8 homers this year. The pitch is number 9. Way deep to right field. Willier could only watch it. It's out of here. And it's 2-1 Yankees.
Why must this continually happen this way? KJ Show, WEEI, 617-779-7937. Hey, at 5:30, my buddy Sean Bell from our sister station, WIP in Philadelphia. I'm going to play him some of these A.J. Brown cuts that have happened this past week of all this kumbaya. And we're going to read from the great holy book of Brady, chapter 6, verse 1, about something that A.J. Brown pulled off. That's at 5:30 here on WEEI. Red Sox lose 6-1. They split the series, technically. It's like a buy now, pay later. I don't know if you've ever used one of these. I'm not ashamed to mention that I have because I'm only here like once a week. But, it looks good. And then when the rain comes, it looks bad. And then the credit looks bad. It's what happened today completely eliminates everything that you saw that felt like goodwill winning a Yankee game on Friday night. Big man John Henry's in town. And I just mentioned, like, could this series – be kind of like the cheapo Red Sox Waterloo. If you're not a history buff, you should be. In New England, it's kind of an important thing. But the whole thing of Waterloo is when the little 5'3" short Frenchman wasn't so good on the field anymore or choosing his battles. I think what John Henry went through with the Liverpool fan base, he now is really taking the time to listen to this fan base. And if you go back to when things fell apart against the Yankees and how embarrassing that series was when Cora was still here earlier in the year, I think that was kind of like the little wake-up call. It's just like, you know what? I pay a lot of money for this team. This is why John Henry's probably in New York. Because at this point, you say, you know what? Just a couple of years ago, the conversation was, you know what? If the Red Sox were in a game and it was 6-4, most likely the Red Sox win the game. Now, if you say, hey, if the Red Sox were in a game and it was 6-4, you'd probably say, what, was that over three games? You know, because they're horrible at the plate. It's ridiculous. And so there's a part of us that say, despite what you feel about Breslow, he's gotten the pitching right. The pitching has not looked better since, like, Chris Sale came back for, like, the fourth time, right? So jump into the conversation because it, just follow my thoughts here. Is you've got a situation where there's an aspect of the team that's better than most in the league, but just a couple of things are making it look like it's the worst in the league. You've heard me say, you've heard others call here and say that, it, you know, all these things of people were like, you got to call up Cassis and what about Roman Anthony and all these guys, you need to call them up. Can we now at least have a conversation to those people? Stop trying to think you know baseball operations and what's best out there in the field. Most of these guys that you've called up for haven't even had 1,000 plate appearances in the league yet. That's only a couple of seasons. 2.5 years would be 1,000 plate appearances for guys. You've got tons of guys who don't even have 300, 400, 500. Hell, Trevor Story doesn't have 1,000. He's been around for like 15 years. My point being, and it always has been, is you need to put something in the lineup that pitching staffs can't just go around. They can go around this entire lineup. As much as Wilson Contreras has at least saved any Red Sox feeling about feeling good, Wilson Contreras is not designed to scare pitchers when they face lineups. He's supposed to be like the fries on – he's supposed to be the fries in the steak frites. I don't know why this is going French here today, Tristan Andrew. Maybe just, I don't know, au revoir to some of this bad playing that's been going on at the plate. This is. Do you take French by any chance, Tristan, your French speaker?
No, my late mother knew a lot of French.
Okay.
I thought you were going with the French fry analogy.
But it's steak frites in en français, but au revoir. And I think John Henry's ready to say au revoir. It's not happening this year because there's no value on this team with the bat in their hand. You cannot give up any. Tolley, hang up the phone. Early, hang up the phone. Sonny Gray, make them wait as long as they possibly can, right? All these. Suarez, hang up the phone. There's no reason to discuss that any of these pieces are worth any value to anybody else except for the Red Sox. And so now you're at a situation where you're kind of like, okay, what do we give up? Duran, I'm kind of ears because for the longest I've held on to, hey, how do you just what Duran does best, you really can't teach. Now it's getting to a point where it's just kind of like, okay, maybe if the feet could match the bat. He had a great month last month, but don't get me wrong. He's supposed to be, in essence, the veteran leader on this team, and nobody's really like old or older on the team outside of Contreras. And Contreras is kind of like the guy you're like, come on over. We got a spot for you. No, I'm talking about all these players that were supposed to be this future foundation. Like, even if there was just one more bat and you say, you know, let's just say Devers was still here and was back playing third after what happened last year. Let's just say that was happening. You would at least say, another bat may give this team a chance with its pitching. They need two bats, maybe even three, and I would then ask, what do you give up that people want? The Yoshida getting better to be sold hasn't worked out. We'll do save trade here in about 15 minutes of just like who needs to go and who can stay, because we're actually looking to really sell real-life human baseball players on this team at this point. You can't get me to believe that they should be buyers now. They need to be buyers of like a new philosophy, right? And I think John Henry is now more than ears about it, and maybe there is an opportunity to spend. It isn't going to happen right now because like I'm driving home today earlier and I see a dead skunk in the road. Okay, the skunk is dead, but it still stinks, okay? And that's what's happening right now. If you try and bring something all of a sudden, it's not going to have this team go on a run. It's not like this team is super dominant at home. 617-779-7937. It's also the text line. It's the KJ Show. Join the conversation. In 2 minutes, we'll get into why this team needs to start thinking about its future. We'll hear from Chad Tracy right here on WEEI.
WEEI. New England Sports Original. This is the KJ Show with KJ Carson on Boston Sports Original. WEEI.
The pitch to Chisholm is skied deep to right field. It is pounded. It is way back and it is gone. Three-run homer for Jazz. 6-1 Yankees. Good night.
Ranger Suarez was dealing. The Contreras single that brings in Rafaela brings the team back to life. It's like, hey, they could potentially get a buy now, pay later sweep of the Yankees, winning two of the two games outside of the rainout yesterday. It didn't happen. And with the Red Sox losing 6-1, it just feels like it's two steps forward. It's one step forward, two steps back with these Red Sox. Please don't get to me with this. There are how many games out of the wild card? Folks, they're almost three games behind the Baltimore Orioles, who are in front of them. So I find it very hard to get into any type of conversation about them in the wild card when they're in last and the team that's ahead of them is almost a full series ahead of them. I don't care how bad the rest of the American League is. It's KJ Show, WEEI, 617-779-7937. All right, I'm going to talk to Sean Bell from WIP in Philadelphia on A.J. Brown week. We didn't have to wait a full week about it. Obviously, it was the talk of everything. I happened to have a chance to jump on with him last night in Philadelphia, kind of giving him the New England side. I'm going to play back some of the sound from A.J. Brown to him and get his thoughts, kind of like a decoding reader. That's like in 15 minutes. I kind of feel for Chad Tracy because, hey, when your arms do what they're supposed to do and taking you deep into games, when it's one particular arm or all the bats that not getting it done, here's Chad Tracy on his thoughts on today's game.
What'd you see from Ranger today?
He was awesome. Didn't walk a man, six strikeouts, in control of the game. He really threw the ball very well.
That said, was there any consideration maybe to squeeze out another couple outs for him?
No, not when we're pretty much right at the number that we've had him at. And you're in a block there with Guerrero. It's like if you move there and you can still have somebody ready on the backside, you know he's running out of pitches. So he had done his part. Guerrero got us in the dugout. We're in a good spot.
That's tight a game that was. How tough is it just to see it kind of unravel like that? The one inning?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you kind of expect going into the game, that was a really good baseball game. You expect going into the game that you're going to see two guys throw the ball pretty well. It's probably going to be tight late, which it was. And then, you know, obviously Bellinger gets a cutter and hits it out. We're, you know, pitching two quick ones, great at bat with Rice, with Slate, and then he's able to get to a cutter and take the lead, and then kind of we let it get away further after that.
Slate had been so good against lefties this year. They've given up one hit today, and then, you know, the base hit and the home run.
Right. I mean, even the bat to Rice was awesome, right. You know. And then just a cutter that he was in a spot where Bellinger can get to it. So it is what it is.
Sort of the same story in terms of obviously going up against Schiller. You have your work cut out for you, but just not much offense.
No, he's awfully good. And again, like I said, you kind of go in there knowing you're going to have to grind. We didn't punch a bunch, which was good. Wilson got us a big hit to get the game tied. And kind of you look and see when both starters are gone, all square, everything's 1-1. It's not a horrible place to be. And we got the ball to Slate and then hopefully Chappie. But so you're in a good spot, you know, and it just didn't work out. But you expected the game to kind of go that way.
With the kind of stops and starts you guys have had, the trouble building momentum. So I just feel like more of the same this weekend. Grab Friday, almost, you know, could have had the abbreviated sweep, and then it just falls apart.
Not necessarily. You know, it's still a good baseball game. You maybe feel that way if you feel like you went out and laid an egg, but you played a really good baseball game, and you know, they get a run in the bottom of the eighth and a couple runs in the bottom of the eighth, obviously. But no, I don't think it feels that way. You still have to, in our position, look at, like, we're going to go get on a plane, get to Tampa, and try to win a series and look at it and say it's a good road trip against a tough AL East stretch. Like, that's how you have to look at it. So that's what we'll do.
Yeah, 617-779-7937. Red Sox lose 6-1 to the Yankees. Chad Tracy's absolutely right. Like, when your pitching staff is dealing up until the late innings, really the last couple of innings, and we'll hear from Slayton here in about 30 seconds, and then we'll get the save trade right after that, is put this in perspective, and this is mind-blowing when I see this. So in terms of the run differential for what's going on in the major leagues, the Red Sox have only given up 30 more runs than the Yankees have done all season. But the Yankees' run differential, 96. The Red Sox, -9. That's a 105-run differential between two teams in the same division that are only separated by about 30 runs allowed. That's how good the Red Sox pitching is, that the Yankees have scored more than 100 runs in differential than the Red Sox, and that's what's really frustrating. So let's hear what happened with Justin Slayton. Here he is.
Pretty good about the first two guys, and you know, and the success you've had against lefties this year. Had only given up the one hit. What happened with Bellinger there?
Pitch. Simple as that. Didn't locate the cutter where I wanted to. I got hit hard.
In a game like that, just obviously it's pretty tense, close game. I know you've said those are the situations you want to come in, and then obviously not to be able to not get out of it. Just how tough is that?
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, like I said, it's the moment that you thrive on. I cherish being able to step into that position and you know, try and get the ball to Chavvy there in the ninth, and you know, just had a day where it didn't go my way. Like I said, made a bad pitch, gave up the lead, and then, you know, the stuff that ensued after that, tried to shut it down, and just didn't happen. So, yeah, it sucks. But nothing to get down about. You know, whenever they ask me to take the ball next, I'll be ready.
In general, how would you describe your mindset or confidence toward lefty batters?
Stays very high. I've been successful against them all year. I'm starting to be more successful against the righties. Like I said, nothing changed. I mean, you're going to have games, you're going to give up runs. But for me, like, my confidence is still very high, always. Like I said, I mean, two games this year, I've given up runs, given up the lead, and, you know, I like to just get back out there and start another streak of zeros and helping us win games.
Yeah, I think these guys have recognized the Brian Baio playbook is say I love baseball as much as you possibly can. That's how you stay up here. Because John Hendry is watching. There's no question he is focused in what is and what isn't happening, right? So if there's all this dragging of Breslow that's going on, you almost have to say, wait a minute, what has he done right and what has he done wrong? And what he's done right is fix what used to be wrong, was which the pitching staff was. That used to be the situation. It's just so tough now because if you told me this 5-7 years, I would say this. Like, wow, to think that the Red Sox arms are carrying everything for this team. I remember when this team couldn't get a guy that could get out of the fifth. And now you've got guys who are dealing. You've got young guys who are working. I thought this would be Breslow's strength. And so now comes the entertainment portion of this little mini show. Hit it, Tristan.
Welcome to Save Trade, the
Somebody's
game show
gotta go.
Where we spin the wheel to see if a player is going to stay or getting shipped off. Here's your host, KJ.
Yes, the game show that buys and sells real-life human baseball players. Tristan, give us the names, and we'll know if it's time, if clock is ticking on them, for them to get up out of here, because it's just been a horrible year. So what you got?
That is not my voice, first of all. Connor Wong, first up.
Yeah. Can we get him into the harbor? Is it quick enough? He's got to go. There's no offense there. You have three catchers on this team. It's almost kind of like you have three catchers because why again? Yeah. Whatever you could get for him. Next.
Aroldis Chapman.
You know what? I'm going to have to back. I'm going to have to back things up with him. I'm going to say, you know what? Come, hold on to him, because if you've got a real staff, what are you going to get in return that someone's going to give you right now that you need? That's going to be the only thing standing at. Like, what are you going to get him for? With Barry Bonds available, you're going to stick him in the middle of the lineup? Like, no, you need two or three guys. All right, what else we have here?
Now a fine young ball player, a bit young, a bit long in the tooth almost. Also working on a social media addiction problem. Jaron Duran.
Brother, I tried to stick it out for you in everything. I tried to tell everybody across the farm system you were worth keeping. But now if someone wants to overpay for you, there will be value that comes back. And I hope you figure it out wherever you go. but bro, your ass gotta go. Next.
How about two for the price of one, Brian Baio and Yoshida, in return for high-level prospects?
I would take it for kind of a steak and frites dinner at this point. Next.
All right. This is an either or, according to this here. Do you save Chad Tracy or trade Wilson Contreras?
You know what? I'm going to back it up and say, hey, keep Chad Tracy, right? No use in having the dugout suddenly be lost all over again. Wilson Contreras, thank you so much. But if it can get some solid help in other areas, I don't know, a bat that can swing. I'd love to see Wilson Contreras stay. But let's be honest, he's not part of the long-term plans. You still have to figure out what you're going to do with Casas. Tough to see him, but sometimes the goods have to go. Next.
Oh, my God, we're having a fire sale. Trevor Story gets $25 million this year and next year. There is, however, a $5 million buyout. Do you pay the buyout, the $30 million now, and cut bait, or say a prayer or two that he still has one more year in him?
Can I dunk him one more time? Do we need to put him on two ships? If that's it, because... That right there, folks, is Save Trade.
Save Trade, brought to you by Firo Duche. When that social media post doesn't age well, Duche and BBL's Unlimited, now available odor-free. More KJ Show next.
All right, we'll get to Thomas and Brockton next. Plus, we'll hear from Sean Bell in Philadelphia on AJ Brown. Hang out on WEEI.
93.7 WEEI.
New England Sports Original. Now, more of the KJ Show with KJ Carson on WEEI.
So AJ Brown, well, we're figuring that out. He's a little frustrated. Obviously, he hasn't seen too many balls today. He's going to read a little passage here.
I haven't seen too many people read books, but I've seen a quarterback eat a hot dog. Certainly not in the playoffs.
That's cool, calm, and collected.
Oh, that gold Tom Brady first season humor on Fox. Yeah, Tom has gotten better. It's KJ Show, WEEI. We'll talk to my buddy Sean Bell here from WIP in Philadelphia, our sister station, here in about 2 minutes. Let me get to Thomas and Brockton. We've been talking Red Sox, their loss to the Yankees 6-1, so they couldn't even sweep the buy now, pay later series that they had against the Yankees, and their Klarna payment is due tomorrow, and they don't have the money for it. Thomas, your thoughts on the Sox and what's going on?
You know, KJ, I'm a little frustrated with the team right now. I just spent the day watching the game, which looked promising, instead of sitting out in the sun on this beautiful day. You know, Ranger pitched really well, but it has me thinking, what if we just use this money in a different aspect and got a bat like Alonso or Bregman, which we really needed? You know, we got the guys like Early and Tolley, the young guys, they're studs and they're pitching their hearts out. But the rest of the team, it's just like, we need a bat. We need multiple bats. I just want to know your thoughts and what do you think about this situation?
Yeah, Thomas, thanks for the call, and I'm glad you stayed out of the sun today. Something you won't find me doing too much of. But look, you're absolutely right. There's not the Red Sox now need more than what they needed even last year, right? Let's say Bregman's still here with this team. Okay, maybe the team is maybe 3 or 4 games better. The conversation is absolutely different. They are in the wild card hunt, and going to go get one more bat is not as heavy as a lift. Now you really need 2 bats. Really, you need 9 bats almost at this point. So and the only way you're going to be able to get multiple bats right now is give up anything that's good, and it's going to be named Tolley, it's going to be named Early, it's going to be named Suarez, it might even be Sonny Gray, and all of those I hang up the phone on, right? And John Henry in New York realizing that, hey, you know, maybe he got some pretty good viral hits on that apology letter to Liverpool. Maybe he's working his way towards that. I just don't know if this is the year that it happens, but you got to hold on to what you got. All right, text line real quick. We'll get to those shortly. Let me bring in my man, Sean Bell. And, Sean, before I bring you up, because we've got this new thing where we've got to be able to kind of get all of this stuff done in a pretty quick way. So here's your little intro. So no more of these 15-minute interviews can happen again in this new world that we in. So we bring in Sean Bell on from WIP in Philadelphia, Sports Radio 94 WIP. So, Sean, A.J. Brown did his whole serenade to the universe here in New England. I got a chance to join you last night in Philadelphia, and I thank you so much. I said here the feeling is probably 80-20 pro A.J. Brown, what the team spent for. What is the pro-con of A.J. Brown in terms of the population down there seeing him go?
After that Maria Taylor interview, there's no con. I mean, some people were saying, hey, we are less talented, but he clearly didn't want to be here. He acted a fool. He was delusional in many ways. And so people are just, it's 100% pro. Okay, you get a first rounder, you get a fifth rounder, and you get a guy who quit last year. Look at that 49er tape. Look at that tape where he short arms things and he's not putting in full effort and he's never blocking. He was just done here in Philadelphia. We're happy to see him go.
Okay, so in this 6 minutes, because you'll hear Dougie Fresh tell you when you've only got 1 minute left, like this is how serious this is. I'm going to play you a cut from A.J. Brown talking about him being in awe, and I want to get your thoughts. Tristan, go ahead and play that cut.
Just talking to my mom, and I was like, man, I'm still in awe. You know, I'm trying to adjust and, you know, walking up the hill with the uniform on. I was like, man, this is real, you know, and caught myself one point in practice, wasn't paying attention because I was like, dang, I'm a Patriot, you know? You know, and just trying to take it all in as much as I can, you know. Obviously, you know, I got back to work quickly, but it's levels to it, and I'm, like I said, I'm enjoying it. It's obviously, I know this ain't heaven, but, you know, it's close to it.
All right, Sean Bell, is that new employee A.J. Brown or 1 or 2 years into employment A.J. Brown? What is it closer to?
That's let me make my new employer happy, AJ Brown. That's it. You're going to get one great year from him, right, where he's going to behave and he's going to do what he has to do, and then that's it, and that goes out of the window. And also, dude, you're not from New England. You're not from the Boston area. I believe you're from Mississippi. So what do you mean football heaven? I know that was a team you grew up watching and loving, which is great. I understand you don't have a team, but they act like you're some diehard and you grew up since you were 2 years old because this is your team and this is your city and they represent you. Knock it off.
Yeah, if anything, if he's reading from the Book of Brady, be careful not to display your fandom in front of the media to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward for a subpar season. That's Brady 6-1. Okay, so on our afternoon show, Rich, Ted, and Ken, here's Ted Johnson's belief on how A.J. Brown will be in the locker room. And then, Sean, I want to get your thoughts. Play the Ted Johnson cut, Tristan.
Because you're going to be held accountable.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be, you know, brought into the teacher's office and being, you know, hey, what's this about? Or you just don't want to undermine the team or the coach that you respect, which we have to assume A.J. Brown really respects Mike, so he doesn't want to undercut him or do something that is going to, I don't know, make him look bad by doing something like you're saying.
Okay, so Sean, I don't want to diminish Ted because Ted's a former player, but is A.J. Brown more of the old school kind of thinking when it comes to who's in charge in the locker room, or is A.J. Brown more of the new school guy who, if he doesn't like something that's going on, may cause an issue in the locker room?
It depends on him. He's an eye guy. Like so many wide receivers, by the way, in the past were eye guys. He's an eye guy, right? Here in Philadelphia, we would win games, and he'd be pissed off in the locker room, not talk about it, and then go on a stream or go on Twitter and say something negative about the team or negative about the offense. But when he got 100 yards, he would then talk to the media, not blow the media off, and answer all the questions. So, yes, he's good in the locker room, and guys like him, but when he's talking about holding people accountable, that's holding them accountable in order for him to get his.
So, again, what I found interesting about the book was the book reading incident, which is now, like, widespread, is that Saquon Barkley ran for 125 yards in that game. They were up by 9 in the fourth quarter against Green Bay in the playoffs. He was targeted 3 times. I think Devontae Smith was targeted 4 times and had more catches in that game. So, would you be concerned, as a person who's seen him in Philadelphia, that he would have less respect for Drake May There's Dougie Fresh telling you 1 minute. This is real. Or would he have, because he lost his respect for Jalen Hurts, are you concerned that he might do that for Drake May when he's not getting his?
Yeah, he will. I mean, again, Jalen and his relationship, things got personal, so there were issues there. But still, we've seen it before. We're older. T.O., Joe Horn, like, he comes from that cloth. So if he's not getting a rock, I don't care what quarterback it is, right? I don't care if it's Steve Young. I don't care if it's Jeff Garcia. I don't care. You know, you had Randy Moss over there, even though you didn't have issues with him at the time. But Randy was that type of guy, too. He comes from that cloth. So he's great when things are great. But when he's not getting a rock, he's going to say something, and it's going to annoy some people.
Sean, do you think the Patriots can win 13 games with A.J. Brown on this team, or is it back down closer to that 10 that procrastinators – well, procrastinators – see, the buzzer went off of me, so I don't even have to finish answering that question. There you had 6 minutes. Sean, did you like this? You're the first person ever on this feature.
Yeah. I got to keep it concise now. I gotta get straight to the point.
No more of this 15-minute stuff that we used to do. Boy, they will sub all of us out of this damn industry in a second. Sean Bell from WIP in Philadelphia, thanks so much for your insight. And, brother, have a good one. And if anything pops up during the season, we'll know who to call.
Of course. Appreciate y'all.
You got it, man. So, yeah, Tristan, very interesting there because, obviously, I think it's an 80-20 split of people wanting A.J. Brown here. Maybe 80-20 also thinking that, okay, whatever the Patriots had to pay, they finally paid high price for something, which is kind of a bit different for them. I just think this is a team that has to win 12, 13 games. Buffalo can't even be in the conversation about the AFC East if you're going to give A.J. Brown $29 million a year. You think it's an overpay?
No, I don't think so. I think you're definitely getting what you pay for with Brown. It's just a matter of, you know, us as a region, our tolerance for, you know, like A.J. Brown putting players on blast in the media like he is wont to do sometimes.
That's not going
to
go over well if he does. The first time it happens, like, I think everything that people thought would happen with Diggs, there's a greater chance that it might happen with A.J. Brown, where Diggs pretty much kept his mouth shut all last season. So all that whole thing about him being a diva and everything, that never showed up. I think if the Patriots do kind of have some wiggle room, is I think A.J. Brown is only guaranteed $5 million next year. And if you're like, okay, you know what? If we decide that we just want to do the 1 year and then we just pay out that $5 million and he's free to go, then really they've only played $34 million, and you just take a hit. It'd just be interesting to see, but this team has to win 13 games in order for this trade to make sense. It's the KJ Show next. Do fries go with that shake, or is that a shake? Next here on WEEI.
But I've seen a quarterback eat a hot dog.
WEEI, New England Sports Original. Listening to The KJ Show with KJ Carson on WEEI.
KJ Show, WEEI, 617-779-7937. Thank you so much for hanging out. Remember, there are many ways you can hear WEEI. Your smart speakers say, hey, Alexa, play WEEI, Boston Sports Original. You can also listen on the Odyssey app. It's absolutely free. Just download the app and type in WEEI. Brings you right here. You can play past shows. Obviously, I don't know if you want to replay that Red Sox game right there. Jeez. But you'll be able to hear past shows. And, of course, if you miss Greg Hill or Jones and Keefe and all those shows, you can play them back while they're live. And if you've missed any of the show, you could do that. Let's go to Ye Scribe. I haven't done this. Tristan Andrew, what saith the great people of Bostonia on the Scribe line?
646 texter. This team, I assume the Red Sox, won't win 70 games. Sell everything you can and start the rebuild.
You know, there was one point where I think when they were at the 25% of the season mark, like that number was lining up to be 68 games. Like, I was just like, are you kidding me? Like, after, like, so 70 games, they may not, you know what? It's a real possibility. I think the number is probably somewhere around 93 losses. That puts them at, what, 76 games, somewhere in there. So, it's going to be in the 70s for sure. I don't, yet them getting 80 wins, I think that's off the table. Oh, great Tristan Andrew, reader of you scribes. What else do the great people of Bostonia say?
Last one, 978 Texter. I'm sorry, but Mike is a better coach than Nick Sirianni, I assume, and understands AJ. And AJ has respect for Josh McDaniels and Mike Vrabel. And it's not going to happen with AJ. This is his favorite childhood favorite team. He's played for Mike. He wasn't a diva in Tennessee.
You sound like a babysitter that gets overpaid with that. Like, I don't care how close the two of them are in the locker room. I don't want to see book reading out on the field up by nine. Look, this team is designed to get the running game going to make it easier for Drake May. If you start making it harder for Drake May because other successes were coming on, if you missed the conversation I had with Sean Bell, I think that's some pretty good insight because they dealt with A.J. Brown for several years, and they gave him his money. So, look, you can sell me all you want on him and Vrabel getting along, but guess what? Him and Vrabel aren't going to be putting pads on each other when it comes time to the game. So once A.J. Brown gets out there and he has to perform, that's number one. And two, he can't be pulling the same horse manure that he was pulling with the team that won a Super Bowl. We're not talking about a guy who was playing for a team that was a disappointing team. Yeah, the Sirianni thing. Yeah, Sirianni's a young guy. I would never compare him to Vrabel. It's not even close. I'm talking about the man, A.J. Brown, and how he may potentially be towards Drake May. There's just a part of me that just feels like if this team doesn't get to the AFC Championship, then this was just kind of a little bit of a waste of a pickup. I mean, if this team goes out in the wild card, was that worth $29 million? Like, are you kidding? Like, I mean, I would be like, look what happened. The first rounder's gone, and so is a bunch of money. I want him to do well. But you know the watermark is he's got to have at least 82 receptions and 1,020 yards because that's what Stephon Diggs did last year. All right. First, we will go to why it is so, and this is key because Tristan, as we know, we're about to move into another building, and I think moving into another building kind of gives the kitchen a fresh start because some people bring their food in, like it can get too out of hand. But listen to what happened between two police officers in the break room in Myrtle Beach. Here's the story from Fox 8 in North Carolina.
South Carolina Law Enforcement Division says a now former Myrtle Beach police detective is facing charges after he allegedly pulled a gun out on a patrolman for heating up fish in the microwave at the police department. 46-year-old Michael DiBiase is charged with pointing and presenting a firearm at a person after SLED was asked to investigate the situation. The incident happened Saturday at the Myrtle Beach Police Department on North Oak Street. DiBiase has been booked into the J. Reuben Long Detention Center.
See, now you see, for some people, microwaving fish, and I'm not going to talk about who on the staff has this habit of microwaving smelly-ass food in the microwave, but if Popo is ready to pull a gun out on his own fellow officer, there might be a brawl in this. So let's not stink up the new place that we're moving to here shortly. But of course, the story that just took the cake or took the fries for me is the girl in Sturbridge, and this is from our own local Channel 5. Hit it, Tristan.
Now fires Southbridge McDonald's manager in court today facing criminal charges. Kaylee Santos is accused of spitting in a container of French fries, putting some of the fries in her mouth, and then serving them to a customer she knew. Santos is being charged with distributing food with a harmful substance. She was released on personal recognizance until a hearing next month. The judge ordered her to stay away from the customer and the Southbridge McDonald's and not to work in the food industry while the case is pending.
Are you kidding me? Really? That's what we're... Is that... I don't know how someone could think that that would fly in today's era. Like, this is why I always say, like, always be nice to the people who serve you your food. That's why I don't know about you, Tristan, or anybody, but, like, when I go out to eat, I'm like, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, thank you very much. Great tip. Well, so that way if they ever see my face again, because you just don't know. So, but according to this story with the girl in Sturbridge, that it was a personal matter between, I guess, her and a girlfriend maybe. But again, like, she can't work in the food service industry while the case is pending. How about never again? Like, this is like, who thinks that's okay? These are the tales of tales. I used to work at that fast food chain, and that is just, I just couldn't imagine. All right. This week, you don't want to miss out on the A.J. Brown stuff gets even more fascinating. There's not going to be any story leading into. I like even the interview with Maria Taylor and some of the stuff. I don't want him talking about Philadelphia anymore, bro. You're now at the destination that you want to be at. This is where your Persian rug. I don't know. Did he buy the rug on Fanatics and, you know, just get ripped off? I'm totally kidding. But yeah, it's like all that stuff is really great, bro, until it isn't. And so my hope is that AJ Brown is able to recognize that this fan base does not play that. Like it does not play that. It does not care about your diva antics. Like, think about it. Cardi B came up here and it was like a tree fell in the woods. Like, nobody cared. It was just kind of like, who cares? Cardi B's here. How is the team doing? I think about the Joe Milton situation with Drake May, of how there were some thoughts that he didn't want him here. So this is why it's even more important for AJ Brown to just kind of sit on his hands. Look, if you're going to call out somebody, I would want it to happen when someone also calls you out. It's like you've probably heard this saying before, like, don't try and take the sawdust out of your brother's eye without removing the log from your own eye. Brother, we need to start getting that logging done very quick. How you'll be forgiven? Getting it done on the field. How people are not going to give you a pass? Man, if the Patriots win by 17 and lean on the run game for a quarter and a half, and you're pouting and you got your lips poked out, that's not going to fly. It's not. You know, Steph Diggs, the conversation about him coming, that just doesn't make sense. I mean, that's, you figure like you went and got Romeo Doubs to be a younger version of Stephon Diggs. You appreciate what Stephon Diggs gave you. I think people are just kind of playing Madden without putting the trade settings on there when they're doing that. And the other part of it is you have to realize that Steph Diggs did have a performing year last year. I think the only reason why he didn't get scooped up at the top of free agency is because he had a pending court case. And so people probably have to do a little bit of due diligence still. If A.J. Brown didn't come to the Patriots, then I thought Stephon Diggs was probably going to be the immediate move. But even that would have been kind of like, all right, well, you have a bit of duplication with Dobbs and with Diggs, in a sense. You still need a big receiver. Look, there's just been this thing about making sure that Drake May makes great decisions. And one of the great things that A.J. Brown does is he can get balls in crowded space. The question is, are you comfortable seeing Drake May throwing balls into crowded spaces just to get A.J. Brown involved? I don't think that. I think it's more important for Henderson to be able to get going, for the offensive line to be going, get the running game, the Stevenson being getting that 1-2 back punch, and it's going to make things much more effective. A.J. Brown slowed up a little bit, so the separation isn't necessarily there that you would want on the play action, you know, overall. But what he offers in terms of getting balls in crowded spaces, A.J. Brown is one of the best in the league, and this is why he's been a multiple-time All-Pro, because of doing that. But I do have a concern, and I'm one of those who thinks that, hey, if I'm going to sit here and say that the Patriots are going to win 12, 13 games, then the belief is that you have something on this roster that's going to allow you to still be just as good as you were last year with an increased schedule. I believe that. That's why I don't think that the Patriots lose. Tell me now, do you really think the Patriots are going to lose to Seattle now that A.J. Brown is on this team opening night? Like this is the things that I was saying. KJ, you're crazy. There's no way they might win 10 games. You don't pay $29 million for a receiver to still win only 10 games, all right? Tristan, Andrew, thank you so much. Red Sox, maybe John Henry comes out with a statement in a video this week. That would be pretty cool. Talking Greg Hill Show kicks things off tomorrow morning here on WEEI. And then don't forget, you can reach us anytime through the Odyssey app. We've got a talkback feature, and you can listen anytime just telling your smart speaker play WEEI Boston Sports Original. Have a good one. See you next week.
WEEI, New England Sports Original.